We got our work cut out for us this morning, friends. Turn to Matthew chapter 23, please. Matthew chapter 23, and this morning we're looking at verses 1 through 36, or at least that's the goal, that's the aim, that's the hope. And I'm taking you as serious students of the Word of God, reminding you that when Christ spoke these words, He spoke them in one shot to those who heard, without explanation. So I'm trusting that you, being good students of the Word of God and eager to hear that very same Word, will likewise give your attention to His Word this morning. So, Matthew 23. That Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to His disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say, and do not do." Underline. "For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and they lay on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, 'Rabbi, Rabbi.' But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, He who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it.' Fools and blind! For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind! For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.' Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore indeed I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city the city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Let's pray. Father, this is a heavy and a very gripping passage of Scripture. And Father, in some ways it challenges or extends the borders of our thinking regarding your Son. But Father, we don't want to worship any Christ. We want to worship the Christ. We want to know Him as He is. We want to hear Him, whatever He has to say. And Lord, whatever He has to say, help us to hear it this morning. And Lord, we pray that we would not ever approach Your Word as a smorgasbord, picking and choosing what we will enjoy, what we'll take, what we'll leave. Father, help us to take it all. Help us to formulate our understanding of who You are, not by our own whims or thoughts, our own caprice, but by Your Word, Your sovereign Word, Your revealed Word. Lord, now open Your revealed will to our hearts this morning by the power of Your Holy Spirit, granting us understanding, granting us courage, granting us ears to hear, to understand, and to receive Your Word as the truth that it is. Bless us, we pray. Amen. This past week, I was talking with an elderly woman named Joanne. Actually, she was speaking to me. I did the listening. For about 5 minutes, she ranted and she railed, mind you, in a very subtle and a very sophisticated manner on the church. She pointed out the hypocrisy of the church. And try and imagine yourself in that position. Have you ever been there before where you're sitting there, you're standing there, and someone starts attacking the church and pointing out the hypocrisy? How do you feel? Well, I'll tell you how I felt. I found myself clamping down and getting increasingly defensive. And as I listened to her just go on and on about the church, I felt like just stopping her. And I said to myself, you cannot go on talking that way. It's wrong. It's mean. It's cruel. And it's just wrong. You know, the irony, though, is this, that her words compared to our Lord's words seemed really kind. Really kind. Because Jesus doesn't pull any punches here in this passage, as we've noticed. For a few weeks, we've been watching Jesus parry the assaults of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Remember how they've been coming after him and attacking him and trying to discredit him and expose him and bring him down before the masses? And Christ has taken their questions and answered them. But finally, he stands up and in front of the scribes and the Pharisees, he says to his disciples and to the crowds these words. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. In other words, they were responsible for teaching you. They're the teachers of the law. Therefore, whatever they tell you to do, observe, that observe, insofar as it agrees with the Word of God, obviously. But do not do according to their works. Why? For they say, and they do not do. In other words, don't do what they do. Why? Because they say, but they do not do. They're hypocrites, right? Isn't that what a hypocrite is? I learned what a hypocrite was in grade 7. We're going through definitions of certain words. We got to the word hypocrite. And I remember very clearly my grade 7 English teacher saying, a hypocrite is someone who says something and does something else. That's what the Pharisees and the scribes were. They were hypocrites. They said one thing and they did another. And Jesus' word on that day, and I believe his word to you this morning, is this: don't do what they did. Don't do what they did. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be someone who says one thing and does something else, who says one thing and lives an entirely different way. Don't be hypocrites. Don't do what they did. That was Christ's word to them that day. It's his word to you this morning. Don't do what they did. And as we look at this portion of God's word, at our Lord's condemnation of the scribes and the Pharisees in verses 1 to verse 36, we're going to see why in two reasons you must not do what they did. And the first reason is this: because hypocrites are despicable. Hypocrites are despicable. They're deplorable. They're horrible people. And you don't want to be like them. You don't want to do what they do. And here in verses 4 to 7, Christ lists two broad general characteristics of the hypocrite. And you got to know what these are, because you don't want to do what they did. You want to be different. You don't want to be a hypocrite, right? So what are these two general broad principles or characteristics of the hypocrite? First of all, it's this: they burden others with extra biblical laws but don't help out themselves. Look at verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. In Jesus' day, we know that the enforced and endorsed extra biblical laws. The picture here is of a beast of burden being loaded, you know, sack upon sack on its back, and then the thing starts to walk and begins to stumble, and when it stumbles, the owner's there and starts whipping it. And that's exactly the picture that Christ envisions here with these scribes and Pharisees. They loaded extra biblical laws, burdens upon the people of God, chief of which was the whole idea that if you just do enough that's good, then you're okay with God. What a horrible burden to put on anybody. And when God's people stumbled, as they inevitably did, they were right there to police and to rebuke and chide them, and did nothing whatsoever to relieve these people of this horrible bondage that they put on these people. And Christ rebukes them. And you know how different the Word of God is for believers, how different Christ's exhortation is. We're told over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, that if your brother stumbles, if he's overcome in a trespass, which, by the way, is a violation of God's law, not some extra-biblical law, you're to do what? You're to restore such a one in a spirit of respect and gentleness. You don't make up extra-biblical laws and say your brother and sister keep these, and when they don't, and they stumble or they trip, get on their backs and rail on them. That's what the Pharisees did. And Christ says, don't do what they did. If you go to your brother or sister because you think they're in error somewhere, you better make sure that you know why you're going to them, to exhort them and rebuke them. But don't ever go to them with some man-made law, some idea that you've come up, some idea, some fancy of yours, and rebuke and chide your brother or sister. You want to drag them down? The Pharisees did. Christ says, don't do what they did. Don't load extra biblical laws on people and do nothing to help them out. Here's a second characteristic: they put on a religious air to win the praise from others. Look at verse 5. But they do all their works to be seen by men. That's the only reason they do what they do. All that can be summarized in that: they do everything they do to be seen, to be praised by men. That's the extent of their religiosity. And how they do that: to make their phylacteries broad. Remember those? Remember that? Back in the Word of God, Deuteronomy 6, verse 8, God said that they were to bind the Word of God in their hands and on their heads. And they took that literally. And so they made little boxes and put the law of God in the box and put it on their head and on their hands. And they walked around. The Pharisees used to broaden their phylacteries so that, you know, you wouldn't miss them. Christ says they lengthened their tassels on their garments. Word of God, Numbers 15, verse 30 to 40, told God's people that they were to put these tassels on their garments. Why? To remind them of God's law. And so the whole point of these laws was to call attention to God. But these guys took them and used them to call attention to themselves. Everything they did was to broadcast their righteousness. They were religious show-offs. And the only reason they did what they did was to gain the praise of men. But Christ says that is not to be with you. He says don't ever call anyone on earth your father. He's not saying children don't call your parents father. He's talking spiritually. There's one who's your father. And don't want to be called teacher either. Because there's only one in heaven who is your teacher, and that is the Christ. And Christ goes on to give this amazing corrective here. And we'll take a look at that in verse 11. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. What Christ is saying here is that you are not to go about your life, your Christian life, seeking to win praise from other people. That can't be the reason why you exist. Think about that. When you're tempted to open your mouth and talk about yourself, by the way, do you ever notice when you talk to certain people, that's all they ever do is talk about themselves? Wow. That's just like the Pharisees. It was all about them. It was all about how great they were. And Christ says, that's not the way it works. In the kingdom of God, if you want to be great, you've got to serve. The way up is the way down. Upward mobility, no. Downward servility, yes. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the example that Christ Himself shows us, isn't it? Who, being the very form of God Himself, does what? He does not hang on to that prerogative. But He made Himself of no reputation, and He took upon Himself the form of a bondservant, wrapped skin on Himself, came down, and allowed Himself to be crucified. The one who made hands allows those very hands to pierce Him through. Why? For our salvation. For your salvation. And that's the model that Christ leaves us here. This is not about us, right? It's not about seeking the praise of others, getting other people to like us, to adore us. That's not what we're to be about. And Christ says, if you're doing that, you're living like a Pharisee. You're living like a hypocrite. Christ says, it's the other way. You've got to serve others. Think about that. How about that? How about every time you go and you talk to somebody, think about this. I'm not going to be talking about myself today. I'm not going to broadcast myself. I'm not going to bring up all kinds of anecdotes that make me look good, even spiritual ones. How about this? How about I'm going to go to my brother or sister and I'm going to, you know, encourage him in the Lord. I'm going to find out how things are going. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve her. You know, how about praying? Just a question. Do you pray for your brother and your sister day by day? What do your prayers look like? You know, how would you characterize them? 90% me, 10% brother, sister. Do you do that? You start praying and, you know, you get so tired and so, oh, Lord God, you know, help my brother and my sister. Amen. You know? Did you pray for your sister this week? Did you pray for your brother? Did you remember me? Did I remember you? Is, I think, the more important question. It's not about me, friends. It's not about me. It can never be about me. It's about a life of service. It's a life going to your brother and sister and saying to yourself, you know what? You are actually better than I am. You're more important than I am. You're so much more important than I am that, you know what? I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm not going to think about myself. I'm not going to elevate myself. I'm not going to exalt myself. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to be just really unique and different in this culture, in this world. I'm actually going to take time to really listen to you on more than a superficial level. I'm going to get into your heart. What's going on? What are your problems? What are your struggles? How can I minister to you? What can I pray about? And that's going to define my life. Christ says, you want to be exalted, you got to get humbled. This is not about you. And when you catch yourself looking to promote yourself and to broadcast your virtue, stop that right away and do something different. Serve your brother, serve your sister, forget about yourself. Remember this, you don't count. Of course, I'm exaggerating. But what about that? What about going on and living a life where you say to yourself, you know what, it just doesn't matter about me. The Pharisees, they didn't live a life like that. It was all about them. It was about nobody else but them. And Christ says, don't do what they do. They look great, they look religious, but they're shams, they're charlatans, they're fakes. It's all about them. It has nothing to do about other people or the glory of God. Don't do what they did. You got that? Hypocrites are despicable people, Christ says. Don't do what they did. Reason one. Reason two, and this is more serious. The second reason you must not do what the hypocrites did was because they are doomed. They're doomed. Seven times in the remainder of these verses, Christ says, woe. And when Christ says, woe, he's not saying, you know, slow down. That's not what he means. When Christ says, woe, it's a word of judgment. He's pronouncing judgment on these people. He is declaring them to be condemned and doomed. Seven times we hear him saying, woe, 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 hypocrite, 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 blind, blind, fools, blind. He goes on. He's condemning them for seven things. Seven things. One is because they block people from entering the kingdom of heaven. Verse 13, look at that. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. They won't accept the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ themselves, and more than that, they won't let others accept it either. They won't take it for themselves, and they block people from entering the kingdom of heaven. Listen, if a person refuses to rejects the grace of God in their lives, what could you do? But if that same person rejects it themselves and prevents others from getting in, then that's a really, really bad thing. That's a wicked thing. That's a wicked thing. And Christ says as much. I wonder how often we, though, ourselves are guilty of something like this, where we actually do get in the way. Where actually by the words that we speak or we don't speak, or by the way that we act or we don't act, we're actually interfering, we're blocking people, we're being an impediment. Christ says, don't do that. The scribes and the Pharisees did that. Don't do that. Don't do what they did, because they're doomed. And they're doomed because they block people from entering the kingdom of heaven. Here's the second reason, because they prey on the vulnerable. And they do that, and they come off spiritual at the same time. And I know that this particular verse, verse 14, is not in some of your translations. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows and houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Some of you don't have that in your translation. The reason being is because it probably isn't authentic to Matthew. And that shouldn't worry you. Sometimes I'll say something like that and people get stressed out. They think, well, then what else is not, you know, authentic? Well, we know what the problem spots are in the Word of God. There aren't very many. And where they are, we know what they are. And this is not a great big deal because it's been probably imported from Mark. It is the Word of God. And it's cause for concern. Because these guys were entering into widows' homes in their state of vulnerability. And they were ripping them off. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine ripping off a widow? Doesn't the Bible say something about that? You know, about helping widows and orphans in their distress, not ripping them off? Christ says, don't do what they do. And by extension, we look after all those who are vulnerable. All those who are easy prey. Right? We're not taking advantage of these people. At the same time, we're not lifting up holy hands and making long prayers while we're ripping off those who are vulnerable or hurting those who are in distress. That's what they did. And Christ says, don't do what they did because they're doomed. And moreover, Christ says they are doomed because they recruit people into their false religion. Look at verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. You know, back in Israel's history, they weren't really fond of the Gentiles, but in Christ's day, I didn't know this, there was a growing interest in doing missions. And there were two kinds of proselytes, Gentile people who would come into the Jewish religion. There was the proselyte of the gate, and this person would come in and they would observe the worship services, but they didn't really get into the life of Judaism. But then there was the proselyte of righteousness. And this person just threw himself in feet first and just got involved in the whole life of the Jewish community. And it was these people particularly that some Jews really liked to get. These people were considered a prize. They were hard to get. And if you could just get one, that was amazing. Sometimes these converts, though, would become so zealous, more so than their teachers, and in doing so, Christ, they become twice the sons of hell. But you know, it gets you thinking, doesn't it? When you think of evangelism today, you know, how much of it is just like the Pharisees, where evangelism is really just about winning trophies, getting a feather in your hat, treating people like projects and prizes rather than people themselves. You know, I'm amazed. I hear about, you know, the growth of the church, and I hear about these numbers that are touted. You know, who cares about numbers? What's a number? And you almost get the impression that people are just a means to an end, and that is self-glorification and success, however you want to define it. And that's just sick. Because when did people ever become prizes in Christ's eyes? Listen. If we ever, for a moment, start treating people like they're prizes, like they're things to be won, feather in the cap, trophies, you know what? Let's repent of that right now. Because that's what the scribes and the Pharisees did. And because they did it, Christ said they're doomed. They're condemned to hell. Here's the fourth reason. Because they don't keep their word, verses 16 to verse 22. Let's read this. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it, and him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. They had this ludicrous idea that if they swore by the gold in the temple, that they had to actually keep their word. But if they swore by the temple itself, not the gold, then they didn't have to keep their word. And so consequently, they could make these oaths by the temple and never have to carry out their word. But you know, when I looked at Psalm 15 this morning, I read these words that you are to swear, even to your own hurt, you make promises, you keep your word, even if it costs you, you don't change. Okay? You keep your word. You say you're going to do something, you do it, no matter how small it seems to you. Even this past week, I got thinking about my message on my phone machine. I say, you know, call me, I'll get back to you. But I don't always get back to people. That's a lie. In the smallest of things, we have got to be people who keep our word. The Pharisees weren't. They were always looking to get or keeping their word. And because of it, Christ says they're doomed. Don't do what they do. They're doomed. Reason five. Because they neglect the more important parts of God's word, His law. Verses 23 to verse 24. Listen to this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. you know, on the surface it might appear that these guys were doing really great by tithing on their dill and their cumin and their anise. But you know what? These were cheap garden herbs. These things didn't cost these guys anything. And there they were plucking out little seeds and leaves and saying, I'm going to tithe on that. And meanwhile, the more important aspects of God's word, like faith and mercy and justice, they weren't doing. You know, it's so easy to minor in the majors, isn't it? It's so important. It's so easy to think, okay, well, I'm doing the easy things that God requires, and so therefore, you know what? You know, the other stuff I don't have to do. Do you ever catch yourself doing that? You know, I'm making certain progress in my life. You know, I've overcome this particular situation. You know, God, you know, He's a patient God. And so, you know, maybe I don't have to, you know, get to that stuff right away. We do the little stuff. We think that somehow that exempts us from doing the more important things. And that's what these guys did. And because of it, they were doomed. And Christ says, do not do what they do. They neglected the more weightier matters of the law. And sixthly, because they seemed pure, but inwardly they were corrupt and filthy. Verses 27 and 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Again, this whole idea that they were righteous and pure, and inwardly, they were rotten. They were brimming with iniquity. You know, who's kidding who? Who's kidding who when we try to put on a show like everything's okay, like we've got it all together? You know, who's kidding who? You know, why do we do that? Why do we pretend that we're so far ahead in our sanctification when the reality is that there is sin that cleaves and besets us and with which we struggle? And yet we pretend that we've got our life together and everything's okay and we're doing just well with the Lord. That's hypocrisy. And Christ said, because of that, the Pharisees were doomed. Woe to you. Woe to you. And then there's this one, number seven. Because they pretend to honor the prophets and the righteous. And this gets heated. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. In other words, you know, if we live back in those days, we're so good, we're so righteous, that there's no possible way that we would have ever done what they did. We would never have killed our fathers. We would never have done that. And Christ says, you testify against yourselves the very day. Because right now, in your hearts, you are scheming and plotting to put the greatest prophet to death. In fact, Christ goes on and says, fill it up. Fill up the measure of your father's guilt. And he promises them, he assures them, that all the blood, from righteous Abel to Zechariah, was going to come upon them in that generation. All the guilt of all the blood shed by those fathers in the Old Testament was coming upon them in that generation. Christ says, how are you going to escape hell? How are you going to escape the condemnation of hell? This is heavy. This is a heavy passage. This is not the kind of passage that I would probably turn to do my devotions, you know, when I'm feeling down. Probably not. I might turn to it, but I would probably quickly turn away from it. It's heavy. Do you find it heavy? Do you find it like a weight? Does it convict you? Maybe it needs to convict you. Maybe the hypocrisy is so great that It needs to pierce you right through. Maybe you need to come to God today and just repent of that. And confess your sin. And understand how despicable hypocrisy is and the doom that awaits hypocrites like the scribes and Pharisees. Christ didn't mince words. I won't mince words with you this morning either. If you're a hypocrite this morning, you need to understand that without Jesus Christ, you're doomed. You're doomed. And Christ made that so clear to these men that day. And you need to have it clear to you this morning. It's one thing to reject Jesus Christ. It's one thing to reject the gospel. But it's quite another, my friends, to pretend that you are something that you are not. And with God, that just will not do. Because before men, you know, you can keep up the charade, but a day will come when God will take that mask from your face and you will be left in all of your nakedness before Him. And that would be a shame. I think that would be a great shame. And a horrible way to go. And a horrible way to spend your eternity. To hear those words, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of sin. You've got to understand that what a blessing it is to hear these words today, tough as they are, heavy as they are. It is a word of grace to you that these words come to you. Because if you are the hypocrite of this passage, then you can praise God because He's making it clear to you this morning. But just don't harden your hearts, my dear friend. And if in your heart, child of God, you see much of yourself in here, much of yourself, and if there is a conviction that haunts you and that wounds you, then I would remind you of this very thing, that these words were not addressed to the people of God. Christ addressed these words to hypocrites. He addressed them to His disciples, to His beloved ones. He said to them, don't do what they do. What they do. He wasn't calling them hypocrites. He was not calling His people hypocrites. He was calling the hypocrites hypocrites. His disciples, He said this, don't do what they do. And if there is hypocrisy in your heart, child of God, which there is, then just confess it before God. Ask Him to forgive you that hypocrisy, to make you a woman, to make you a man of integrity. And keep clinging to Christ this morning. He is your Savior. He will save you from your hypocrisy. He will save you from being the despicable and doomed person that the scribes and the Pharisees are. He'll save you from that. This passage talks of hypocrites, but it's designed for you, God's people. It's spoken to disciples. If there's hypocrisy, repent of it, confess it, and cling to Christ, your Savior. But just don't ever do what they do. It's not who you are. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You're not a hypocrite. So don't act like a hypocrite. Don't be what you're not. Be what you are. Be the man of God, the woman of God that you are in Christ. Don't do what they do. Don't be a hypocrite. Did you hear that? Father, sometimes your word hits like a wave. It just brings sobriety, and yet, Lord, at the same time, it evokes such desperation, and it forces us to look to You and to grab onto Your Son. With that deepening realization of our frailty and our weakness, God, we pray that You would uncover whatever we have shamefully covered. That You would expose the hypocrisy in these hearts. And Lord, do that so that we will serve You and honor You with these lives. Father, help us not to be ashamed of these words. Help us not to be ashamed of a Savior who is so strong, so courageous, so holy, that even though it would mean His very death, He spoke these words to preserve and care for His church. Father, thank You for that kind of strength. Father, may we find it in our hearts this morning, that very strength. For we ask in Jesus' name.